All right, everyone, welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast live call.
That's right, we're live.
We're fellowshipping together, and we are given the opportunity tonight to talk about marital unfaithfulness. Not only talk about it, but we get to raise our hands for those of us on the phone by pressing *5 and ask questions about it. We learn quite a bit about what are the battles of and signs of unfaithfulness. We talked a lot about the arts of knowing, the art. We've talked about 5 arts this week that tell us these are things to be aware of, how we can be unfaithful. And it's our opportunity tonight to ask those questions, to raise our hands, to share scriptures, share testimonies, and just fellowship with one another in amazing ways. So we're on the line. For those of you on the phone, soon we'll be on Facebook. There's a perfect opportunity to definitely bring in others so that we can really dig in further on this topic of marital unfaithfulness. So to do so, we're going to go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr.
Good evening, Ms. Tiana.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
Great, thank you.
Good deal. Well, let's go ahead and open up with prayer so we can go ahead and get started on this topic.
All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for bringing us together this evening to share in your word, dear Lord. We are asking that just continue to cover and protect all of us who are here on the line and family and friends, all of our loved ones, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, as we go forward on this call, let us do so. Get in a quiet area. Just be at peace. And just to be here with open hearts and open minds, because you, Heavenly Father, just continuing to feed us with your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our leader. And we thank you for this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all. This week we have been talking about marital unfaithfulness. Been a plethora of information, a lot of stuff going on. And something that we need to take heed to, whether you're in a marriage, in a relationship. We got to be in one of them. As a matter of fact, we should be in both of them. Although I know a lot of times we believe in, you know, I'm not legally married. That has nothing to do with anything with God. Because what is the legality? Who is your law? What law are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I need to put that out there. Let me add that out there. What law are we talking about? Because a lot of times, y'all know we look from the left, look to the left and to the right, and we try and get indicators, symbolic things that says, hey, give me an answer. Do you think I was wrong for? Bible says that a wise man seeks wise counsel. Who are you asking?
Right.
Now, you don't went to somebody who's not deeply rooted in God just because they married to get answers. Who do that? And where you do that at? Okay, so this is important, this topic, y'all. Okay, marital unfaithfulness. Is Mr. DJ there?
Not yet, sir.
All right. Well, look, I don't know if Miss Jennifer Fernie is on the phone, but if you could get Miss Jennifer on the phone, because I want to rock and roll with Miss Jennifer until Mr. DJ get here, because we can have us a little good time. So let me go ahead, while you're doing that, kind of reach out to Miss Jennifer. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and start Facebook Live so everybody can see me out there. This topic right here, about to get a little steamy. Okay, so I hope y'all can see me. Y'all see me way off. Okay. And while we're getting prepared and set up, okay, with that being said, Miss Tiana, go ahead and get Miss Latonya on the phone right quick, because I want to hear from her right quick as we wait. I told you, no dead time in between. We'll get Miss Latonya. I just want to get a weekend synopsis. How you doing, Miss Katina and Miss Jamara? How are you all doing? This topic is about to get real. All right. So, Miss Tiana, where's Miss Latonya? Is she there?
I am here, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing, Miss Pierce and Miss Giselle? So, real quickly, not too long now, not over a minute. Go ahead and share with me the weekend review. How you doing, Miss Tamika?
So this week we've been talking about marital unfaithfulness, and I realized that we actually took it outside of the realm of you know, a marriage. First, putting a focus on our marriage to God, reminding us of how important that is, first and foremost. But just how important it is that we line up with the things of God, because marital unfaithfulness is real. It's more real than a lot of people think, and there are consequences. So, you know we've learned about, you know, what God says about divorce, but also, more importantly, forgiveness. A lot of us find it hard to, you know, forgive in situations like that. So we have to consider our spouse, you know, before, you know, put our spouse before we put ourselves.
Okay.
Really consider them, you know, before we do things.
Okay. Good
and,
deal.
You know,
Miss Jackie, Miss Giselle, Miss Reva. How are you all, Miss Katina, Miss Brenda? Okay. So thank you so much for that, Miss Latonya. So, y'all, we're about to get started. Okay, in 1 second. Log on to my page so I can keep up with everybody.
All right. Okay.
Marriage to unfaithfulness. Is Mr. DJ there?
Not yet, sir. And I've reached out to Miss Bernie.
Okay. Miss Jennifer, you there?
She's not here yet. I've reached out to her.
Okay. All right. Keep me posted. All right. So, y'all, with
yes,
that being said, this topic has been a major topic. It's real, humongous. And if you got a chance to listen in on our Bible study, I hope that you took heed to a couple of things. We had five pointers to help us avoid marital unfaithfulness, because it's real. No matter how we want to approach it, you know, the matters of the heart tend to be very real. And when you invest in someone, in something, your heart is wide open. In other words, you let your guard down. You let that wall down. And you don't want to get a return that's called disappointment. Nobody wants to be cheated on. Anybody beg
you? That's right. No, sir.
Everybody wants to be number one. Right? Who wants to
yes,
be
sir.
Second choice, second option, second fiddle? Who wants to be that in the person, the love of your life? Do you want to be second fiddle to them? I mean, for them? In other words, do you want to be their second choice? By default, they want you because they couldn't get option number one?
Not at all.
I'm slow on the draw tonight. I'm about to get a whole new crew. Y'all slow on the draw. How you doing, Ms. Chloe? Okay, let me ask this question again. Do you want to play second fiddle to those who you love the most?
Not at all.
Okay. Absolutely not. How you doing, Ms. Christina and Ms. You was that Ms. Warren? So with that being said, we're talking about marital unfaithfulness. So before we get started, Ms. Tian, I'm going to give the floor to you for the first email question. What do we have?
Sure, sir. First question tonight is, I have been in a relationship for 10 years. How long is too long to wait for my wife to be ready to marry?
Okay. Ms. Latonya, real quickly, not overdrawing it now. I've been in a relationship for 10 years. How long is too long to be to wait for my wife to be ready to marry?
I think that's subjective. Some people would say 10 years is they're okay with that. And then others would say that's too long. You know, 5 years is long enough. So I would say it's subjective, but I would say by 10 years you should know, you know, if you want to marry that person or not, and be moving in that direction.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's totally based on the maturation process. As a matter of fact, how long have we been ready for God to marry us? Are anybody ready to marry God?
Okay.
Why do we have this construction sign on our life that says we're still yet under construction? When are we going to be ready?
Correct. Fair question.
Right?
That is correct.
How you doing, Ms. Penny? Okay, how you doing, Ms. Jocelyn? So the question again says, I have been in a relationship for 10 years. How long is too long to wait for my wife to be ready to marry? The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. See, God has given you instruction already. You depend on what God has to say. Okay? You know your, see, grace and mercy runs out, and a waiting period runs out as well. if you know it's time for you to be married and that individual is still yet immature, it may be time for you to move around. This applies to the men and the women alike. Because what will happen is some people string other people along, and you start to be unfaithful. In other words, I'll be in a relationship with you, but only, watch this, only, watch this, I want my cake and eat it too. So you're not ready. I'm going to actually start to cultivate someone else who is. So I'm going to juggle both of y'all. And whichever one of y'all comes out ready first, that's the one I'm going to go with. If someone is hindering your growth pattern, your growth spurt, if you're saying you want to move forward and they're saying, hold on, I'm not ready, now that's between you and God. Patience is a virtue, but how long do you wait? When somebody, see, when you really love something, watch this. When you really love something, I'm talking from the perspective of the person who's making the other person. When you love something, you see the urgency in knowing they are waiting on you. So you start to get dressed a little quicker. In other words, you start to do your thing right. In other words, when you know God is waiting on you, don't you get prepared? When you love God? But if you want to make God wait, you'll say, he'll wait. When you want to make a man wait, you'll say, he'll wait. If you want to make a woman wait, you'll say, she'll wait. See, that's not any consideration, and that's unfaithful going into the whole thing. So if they see you waiting, and they're still not preparing themselves to mature into something called marriage, then you need to make a decision, too. Because if they can wait, you can move. Your choice.
Come on.
Amen.
Make sense?
That's right. Yes, it does.
I hope it makes perfect sense. All right, how you doing, Miss Natasha? My girl there. How you doing, Miss Juanita, Miss Christine, and Miss Hall? Miss, who is that? Miss Johnson and Miss George. Okay, how are you? Miss Hitchens. All right, so y'all got that one? That was the first one.
Yes, sir.
Now it's on faithfulness. Watch this. What's the second question we have, Miss Tiana?
Sure. Second question is, every time I try to talk with my wife, sorry, the whole question didn't copy over. Let me grab that correctly. Every time I try to talk to my wife about spending more time together, she runs down the kids' schedule and never commits. What options are available for me to help bring my marriage, make my marriage a priority?
Why would you want to make it a priority when she's the one running? Hello?
Hello. I believe it's because it hasn't been a priority for them before. So he's trying to make it a priority and she's not at this time, is what I understand.
Okay. So what options are available to make my marriage a priority?
Yes.
Okay. The very fact that you're trying suggest that you're trying to make it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to be simplistic in my approach, but we got to mature in some things. Some questions are evident. The very fact that you're trying makes it a priority. And see, here's the thing. You got to get someone who's trying with you. Because if you don't get someone who's trying with you, you're going to end up pulling the load by yourself. And when you pull too much of a load by yourself, you end up straining. People who strain tend to get tired quick. In other words, it's quicker, it's easier to give up when you are pulling the load by yourself.
Right.
That's correct.
Does that make any sense? Because we got to be
mature in
the way that we handle this whole situation, because I don't want to be simplistic. All right? So we're just going to move along with that one. So the way that you do that, you're making it a priority already. We're talking about marital unfaithfulness, y'all. All right, here's our next question I have. How you doing, Ms. Kay, Ms. Tamika, and Ms. Kylie? How are you? Okay? What you say, Ms. Natasha? You said exactly what I said. Both parties have to be willing. That's very important. All right? Here's the email question, y'all. The question says, will God forgive those who commit adultery when they have never come clean and tell all parties involved? Let me say that again. Y'all hit me. Now, talk to me on Facebook Live now. On the phone, press *5 if you're there. All right? The question says, will God forgive those who commit adultery when they have never come clean and tell all parties involved? Great question. Ms. Latanya, real quickly, what do you have?
I would say no, because we talked about, like, for instance, the art of openness. So you have to be open and transparent, you know, let them know
Okay, that's simple. Will God forgive those who commit adultery when they have never come clean and tell our partners? See, it's not a tricky question, so let me help everybody out. All right? When you have a total investment, those who are very astute with your whole product, don't you want to know everything about what you've invested in?
Yes, indeed.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. You want to know it all.
Correct. Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us to confess our sins one year to another. Who would be a better person to confess what you've done wrong with more so than your spouse?
No one else.
That's correct. Nobody else would.
That's your eighth boon, your best friend, your confidant, your covering, your provider, your prayer warrior. That's your buddy. That's your financial advisor. That's your lover. That's your date for life. Your spouse should be the first one you confide in, whether it be right or wrong. Let me say this again. We're talking about marital unfaithfulness. You know how many people, you know how many people who are not gay, but they involve their friend? The male involves his homeboy in a marriage that should be between 3, not 4. It should be God and the husband and the wife. So he invites his partner in because he starts telling business that the homeboy should know. The female involves one of her girlfriends or her family members. Now you're looking for a recipe for disaster. The question was will God forgive those who commit adultery when they have never come clean and tell? How is it that the outside parties know more so or know before or know all the truth that your partner don't know?
Right. All right.
Mr. Latonya, don't post it right now, please. Post it in a few. Okay. Does that make any sense to everybody? How you doing, Ms.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it does.
King and Ms. Crowd and Ms. Jackson. So the question was, will God forgive those who commit adultery when they have never come clean and told all the parties involved? What's going on, Jimmy? And the answer is, the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. The Bible also says this. He also says this, okay? How can you love me, someone you have never seen, but cannot love your brother that you see on a day-to-day basis? In other words, how can you go to God in prayer and confess to God, but you never confess to your partner that you have sinned, that you have committed adultery? I know it's hard, but it's necessary. So how can God forgive you when you haven't done things decently and in order?
Amen. He can't.
Right, tonight. Okay, I'm going to step on some toes then. Mr. Tony, you need to sit down, get yourself together before you get back on. How you doing, Ms. Christine and Ms. McGee, Ms. Brittany? Okay, this is important, people.
Mr. Carr?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Forney has joined us.
How you doing, Ms. Jennifer?
Hi, Ms. Jennifer.
I'm great. Hi, how are y'all?
Doing wonderful.
Wonderful.
All right, Ms. Latonya, you can stay right there for a second. You can chill out. So Ms. Jennifer is rocking and rolling, so you can go ahead and mute Ms. Latonya. How you doing, Ms. Ebony? All right. So Ms. Jennifer, real quickly, let me get to that question with you. The question was, would God forgive those who commit adultery when they have never come clean to all parties involved? In other words, they didn't tell all people. They didn't tell the spouse. They didn't tell, you know, everybody. The parties involved. Would God forgive people when they haven't told everybody involved the truth?
I would say yes.
Okay. Explain.
I mean, if God forgives us, you know, of our sins, so he doesn't judge us, you know, sorry, I just got through with these kids. My mind is like.
Okay. What's going on, Kevin? He said, you know, God doesn't judge us. You know, here's the thing. I just don't want nobody to get it twisted. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get it twisted. We can't be, see, we serve God in spirit and in truth, even in marriage, even being faithful. It is impossible to be faithful to a spirit that we cannot see, yet not be faithful to something that we can see. The Bible clearly says it. How can you love me, someone you have never seen, yet you can't love your brother that you see on a day-to-day basis? It's important that our vertical relationship mirrors our horizontal relationship. What I mean by that is, if you remember the Bible says, when I was hungry, you fed me. In other words, if you're going to be honest with God, shouldn't you be honest with people as well?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes.
In other words, because if we don't, what we do is we're giving ourselves a way out. In other words, I don't have to be faithful. I don't have to be honest. I can be mischievous. I can be just dirty to y'all, rough around the edges. But at least I got it, you know. Then we become holier than thou. I bust the church doors open, but I live a scandalous life. That's not what God is seeking. So when we talk about marital unfaithfulness, that's step number one that goes into unfaithfulness. We have to get all things right, okay? All
right.
Things right so that our conscience can be clear. And when our conscience is clear, our heart is in a better place to receive from God.
That's right.
Okay? Ms. Natasha said, I like that. How you doing, Ms. Griffin, Ms. Sherelle? Ms. Natasha said, I believe that if you are truly seeking God's forgiveness, you have to be honest with everyone. And I totally agree. That's the only way that it can happen. You cannot be honest with God and dishonest with people at the same time. That is an oxymoron. That is a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How you doing, Ms. Erica and Ms. Pat? All right, here we go. Next question, y'all. Next email question. The question says, my relationship is spiraling out of control. We are not married, however, I did step out and cheat on my soulmate. The problem is that he will not let me live it down. He thinks that since I've stepped out on him, that it's okay for him to do the same to me. Please help this sinking relationship. Miss Jennifer, what you got?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
My relationship is falling out of control. We're not married. However, I did step out and cheat on my soulmate. The problem is that he will not let me live it down. He thinks that since I stepped out on him, that it's okay for him to do the same to me. Please help this sinking relationship.
Okay, number one, they're not married, even though they're not married.
Right.
That's the key thing. I mean, well, even though they're not married, it still does not mean that you turn around and do the same thing that he needs to turn around and do the same thing that she is doing, or vice versa. Number one, they both need to go to God and see if that's that person that they actually want or need, should be with.
Okay.
Because it may not be.
Okay. All right, I got you.
And may not be made for each other, so.
Okay. What'd you say, Kevin? The foundation has a crack. Okay, already, okay.
Mm-hmm.
True. Very true. Okay. The question is, our relationship is spiraling out of control. We are not married. However, I did step out and cheat on my soulmate. So one individual is claiming that it's to be soulmate. However, the problem is that he will not let me live it down. See, this is a problem in itself, marital unfaithfulness. When people,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to move forward with somebody, you have to forgive them. If you cannot forgive them, don't move forward. But do not hold baggage over someone's head. If you either you're going to forgive them or you're going to let them go. One of the other. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
Come on. I'm
going to
talk to married folks or people who
want to be.
How you doing, Ms. Courtney? Robin, how are you? The thing is, you cannot continue to hold it over their head. If you forgive them or you don't, okay? The thing is, we have to forgive, but forgiveness does not mean fellowship. So just because you forgive someone does not mean that you got to stay, you know, singing Kumbaya hand in hand. That don't mean that you have to
mm-hmm.
remain in the relationship or married. That is not a sin.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. The important thing is that you don't hold anything over their head, because unforgiveness results in poor decision-making thereafter.
Right.
How can God bless you when you are not forgiving others?
Yes.
Remember, we pray that in the
yes.
prayer. Father, forgive me
mm-hmm.
for my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. So as
yes.
I forgive,
right.
forgive me. So if I don't forgive, that means I won't be forgiven. You see how it go? Marriage
yes,
unfaithful.
Indeed. Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So this individual stepped out on her man. They're not married. All right? The problem is that he won't let her live it down. So if I had to counsel them, I would say, hey, shame on you, man. Because either you're going to forgive her and get over it in God, or you're going to have to let her go. But you cannot become a slave master to something that she's asking for forgiveness on.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that there's not consequences, but what I'm saying is you cannot beat somebody down. Does God beat us down?
Nope.
No.
Okay? So the young lady went on to say, he thinks that since I've stepped out, that it gives him the right to do the same. Y'all know, boy, y'all know when somebody do it to us, y'all know it's on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not right.
It's not right at all. But y'all know it's on.
Nope.
Okay, y'all got to get excited about the word of God, because when God is in the building, we can't be like, hey, y'all know what time it is. All right?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So this is important. So just because somebody do it to you, don't play the monkey see, monkey do game. Because when you cheat because somebody else cheated, don't say, well, I did it because of them. You can't do something that's not already in you. So if they was going to act like a whore, let there be. Either you forgive them or you leave them, right? But don't you become a whore because of somebody else.
Right.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
You can't make me be something that I'm not. So before I cheat on you, I'll move around. That means I leave.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? How you doing, Ms.
Yes.
Courtney? What you said, Ms. LaTanya, seeking counseling. If the partner cannot forgive and wants to play get back, they should part ways. All right? An eye for an eye is not acceptable, says Ms. Tiana. We must forgive and let go. Decide to stay or leave, not get back. All right. She said give back. Okay. All right, Ms. Jamara had a question. The question is, if you confess to your mate that you too have been unfaithful in the marriage and choose to no longer go down that path, are you obligated to disclose all details of your infidelity? Is I lied and cheated enough? Oh, my God. Ms. Jennifer, let me stop this.
Wow.
That's a great question, Mr. Mayor. You are definitely obligated to disclose all information. Here's the reason why. Because to you very male may think that it's not important to tell them this and leave it out. But do understand that you're in a position where you are in a repenting. When you repent, that means I humbly lay down. When I repent, I open up, God. I open up, God. Whatever you want to know, God, I'm going to tell you. You got to let it all out. You can't say I lied, because when you say I lied or I'm sorry, that's a blanket statement. What are you sorry about? Tell me everything that I don't know that I need to know. As a matter of fact, just tell me everything, and I'll decide what's important and what's not.
Come on.
I don't know about y'all, but when I purchase a car, marriage. When I purchase a car, I want to know all the details. Don't tell me a lemon, and tell me the spare tire doesn't work, that wasn't important. I need to know everything. Marriage is far more important and complicated than the average mind thinks. The reason why it's complicated, because it's spirit involved, not just flesh. And the reason the complication starts is because you have two spirits, two souls that have to mesh together as one. So why would one part of the body know and the other part of the body not know? See, if that be the case, that means it's dysfunction. And when something is dysfunctional, it becomes handicapped. And things that are handicapped become paralyzed. And see, when they're paralyzed, they can't function properly.
They can't move.
Can't move. So by right, you cheated, disclose everything. Leave nothing out, because there's nothing like somebody stumbling across something later on by somebody else. No.
Right.
Tell it off.
Yes.
Tell it off. Be completely.
Yeah.
Y'all know the definition of transparency? Transparency? Being transparent is totally open.
That's right.
Whatever you want to know, I'm going to tell you. Whatever you don't think to know, I'm going to tell you anyway. Now, that's love. That's love, y'all. That's love.
It is.
Having hidden agendas don't work when it comes to marriage. How you doing, Ms. Julie? What'd you say, Kevin? That's true. It must be already in the person. That's absolutely right. All right, how you doing, Ms. Shire? Ms. Stephanie? All right. All right, y'all. We had another question out there, Ms. Kiana?
We do have another question. Next question is, when I'm hurt, I forgive and separate. I don't open up like I used to, and maintain a safe distance. The question is, how am I being unfaithful if I'm protecting myself? What steps would you recommend to open back up?
Ms. Jennifer, you got a soft Bible that you can hit them with? What I just said? Didn't I just say transparency?
Transparency.
I ain't say a hard Bible, a soft one. That's nothing.
Yeah.
That wisdom hit them upside the head.
Just a little bit. Little taps.
How can you have an effective relationship if you have a hard heart? A hard heart is having a wall up. If you have a wall up, that means you have a hard heart. Who can get to you? Not even God. In other words, if you have a hard heart, no seed can be planted in you. Not even the seed of love. Not even the seed of union. Not even the seed of relationship. And definitely not the seed of marriage. Because marriage is a seed. In other words, it's planted. But the reason why it's a seed is because it grows.
Yeah.
Hello?
That's true.
How you doing, Ms. Cook?
That's true.
Hi, I am Ms. Robin. How are you? Ms. Katina, y'all understand? So if you have a wall up, who can get to you? Now, here's the thing. People say, well, they need to earn my trust. But what about you earning theirs? See, you can be unfaithful and you blocking somebody. Because if that's the Boaz that God has for you, if that's the woman for God has for you, if you're blocking what God says she'll be together, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the Bible says, before you take up your cross and follow me, you must first deny yourself. Look at how God put obedience before sacrifice. Because when we think of the cross, we think of what? Sacrifice. But he says you must first deny yourself. In other words, obey me before you sacrifice for me. Oh, my.
Yes.
I got to love this.
All right.
Tell your faithfulness. I'm trying to tell somebody something. Before you start to sacrifice for God, talking about what I done gave up for my marriage, what I done gave up for my man, what I done gave up for my wife, once you start obeying God, when you obey God, you know that sacrifices start to pale in comparison to, you know, obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. So if you obey the seed of marriage, sacrificing for the marriage is going to be minute. That's easy.
Amen.
Man, I'm trying to help somebody.
Amen.
I'm trying to save somebody marriage. Somebody said, how can you tell somebody about marriage when you've never been married? Actually, I have been married. It's called a marriage to God. What better marriage could you ever be in?
Because,
see, if I can't tell you about anything about marriage, that means you can't listen to the Bible because Jesus wasn't married, or was he? Yes, he was. He said he's married to the backside. So what marriage is first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to clear that up.
All right.
Yes, so you said, Ms. Crystal, you can't have an effective relationship without a heart, with a hard heart. That's right. That heart has to be soft. And when a heart is soft, it's able to receive. So you can't put up a wall. You can't put up a wall. How you doing, Ms. Danielle? Y'all following me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. LaTonya said, seek God, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Consider how you will want to be treated. I love it. Hey, y'all, if y'all on the phone line, star 5. Mr. Bree, y'all there, star 5. Don't get quiet on us now. We rocking and rolling tonight. We rolling now. Star 5. All right?
We have a question on the phone line, sir.
What we got?
All right. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. So the question I have is, sorry, one second. Okay. In my previous marriage, I cheated on my ex. Am I obligated to tell this to my now fiancé before we tie the knot?
Ms. Jennifer, so your past, does it have anything to do with your present? Whatever happened in your past, are you obligated to tell your future husband, spouse, wife? Are you obligated?
Yes, you're obligated.
Mm.
You need to tell them everything. You don't want to take your past into your future.
Boy, this is good.
That's right.
If something happened prior to, when you love someone, love covers a multitude of sin. It's okay to tell them. They're not going to judge you on it. As a matter of fact, you coming clean. Now, you might say, what that got to do with me coming clean? If you can tell me everything about you, what more will you not give me? That means you'll give me all of you. If I can accept all of you and everything that comes with you, how do you know if I accept everything that comes with you if you won't tell me all of you? You're not even giving me an opportunity.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help some married folks out because we start leaving little things out. You know, all the people, tell them everything. There's nothing wrong with it. Satan is the only one who's secret. There's nothing about God that's private. As a matter of fact, if God played cards, God would show you his whole hand. You can't beat it.
That's right.
Okay. Ain't that something? How you doing, Miss Andrea? That's my girl. How you doing, Miss Kimberly? Okay. Who that is? Miss Cola, go hard. What's going on? All right? So we have to be transparent. Transparent. You know, people say, honesty, without trust and honesty, there's no relationship. But what do you think goes before trust and honesty? Transparency?
If you're not transparent,
how can you be honest? And if you can't be honest, how can trust be established? So here's the order. Watch this. It's called transparency first. Huh? Before.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm telling you transparency before honesty, because if you're not transparent, you can be honest about certain things, but not about everything. I'm trying to help somebody.
All right.
You know how many people are honest only about 1 through 5, but they forgot 6 through 10? I want somebody who's transparent. When you're transparent, that means, hey, I'm not trying to protect myself. I'm trying to protect the relationship. And when I try and protect the relationship called marriage, I'm going to tell marriage everything. I'm telling marriage everything, because if you love me like you say you love me, you will work through this together. So I cannot keep it from my marriage, because I wouldn't want you to keep it from me either.
Amen.
I want to know everything about you. If God is involved in our relationship, God, us, it's the three, God and us. If God knows everything and he's in the marriage, why shouldn't I know everything?
All right.
All right. Y'all follow me? I don't care what you
hood. Yes, indeed.
Because I know people going to say what they the hood. Talk about, well, my mama. Your mama them ain't God. No disrespect. Mm-hmm. Well, my girlfriend them over there, they been married for 18 years. They ain't God either. It may look good on the outside, but if you cut in the court, you never know. But see, don't go by them. Go by God. Establish your marriage in God so that you don't become unfaithful in it.
Amen.
All right. What you say, Miss Natasha? It speaks to your character. If you're still hiding your past from the person you say you love. Lord, I couldn't have said that better. It literally speaks to your character if you're still hiding things, if you're still hiding your past from the person you say you love. In other words, what she's saying, translated to Ebonic, that means you don't love them like you say you love them.
Come on.
Because love is transparent. Love doesn't hide anything. If you go look at the definition, 1 Corinthians 4:8, love is patient, love is kind. How, what more is kindness to tell everything? It's not jealous, boastful, nor rude. It does not insist in its own way. You follow me? All right now.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Ms. Hunt? What'd you say, Ms. Crystal? Your husband is your best friend. Tell him again. Your husband is your best friend. Tell him again. Tell them from the other side. Your wife is your best friend. Cool. Watch this. If you tell your girlfriends or your homeboys everything, then you should tell him or her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love it. If your, watch this, y'all. If your homegirl or your homeboy know more than your spouse, you done married the wrong person.
Come on.
Oh. How would you feel as a parent if the neighbors know more about your child than you do? They just told them what they made or didn't make on a report card and you never knew. How would you feel, parent?
Incomplete.
You have a problem?
Not happy.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about marital unfaithfulness. That wouldn't be a problem. Of course it would.
It would be.
Yeah.
Of course it would. Ain't that something, y'all?
Yes.
Ms. Rollins, how are you? Cheryl, how are you? All right. Let's get to the next email question. Do we have a caller, Star 5? Anybody that's still being quiet? That's cool. We're going to rock and roll. They want to be quiet tonight.
They're quiet.
All right, Ms. Jennifer, here go a question. It says, if you had to put, y'all listen to this out here, on Facebook, I want y'all to give me some percentages. Get your computers ready now. Watch this. Now, if y'all on the line, y'all fired. I want to see if somebody there. I know we have people over at least 30-something. Okay. Y'all got to chime in. Now, they being kind, Lord. I'm saying that for a reason. I mean, get it active. Okay.
Yes.
If you had to put a percentage on it, how many married couples do you believe are totally being faithful in God's eyes? Give me a percentage of people who are being faithful.
Oh, I would say like maybe 60%.
60% of people being faithful in marriages?
Mm-hmm.
Totally faithful?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, Jennifer, you good.
You are so kind.
She's
you
good.
So kind.
I need to go back to algebra. Miss Tiana, if you had to put a percentage on the people in the United States of America and the people in the world that are married, how many do you believe are totally being faithful in God's eyes based on, oh, Lord, she didn't beat me to the point. She said 20. 20%. Miss Andrea said 50%. Hey, y'all, star five on the
so
line.
Kind.
Star five. Try to give me a percentage.
We got a percentage. Hold on. Let's see. Good evening, caller. What percentage?
Good evening. I say it's 25%.
25%?
Yes, I think 25%.
Miss Katina say 10%.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Miss Katina say 10%, the 10% that we give God. That's all. Miss Jamal say 29%. She didn't go 25 or 30. She say 29. I like that. Very detailed. Miss Crystal say over 50%. Okay. Kevin, what's
you got 20%? One more caller.
I would say
20%.
We could say 15%. What'd you say?
We got one more caller.
Okay, what we got?
Go ahead, caller.
I say 5%.
5%. Boy, she done been through it. We gonna pray for you, okay? She said 5.
you said in God's eyes. So I'm just
I got you.
According to God's standards.
All right, go ahead, buddy.
All right.
Sarah say 30%. Miss Crystal say less than 10%. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot accurately say, but if I had to guesstimate, if I had to get my hypothesis, I would literally say, the question says, if you had to put a percentage on how many married couples do you believe are totally being faithful to God? I mean, are totally being faithful to one another in God's eyes? I'm not going to lie, y'all. I'm going to be totally honest. I would literally say less than 10%. Now, listen to what I'm saying, because I don't want to discourage anybody from being married. Don't get discouraged. When I say totally being faithful in God's eyes, you got to take the same amount of people that you perceive going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because you know that you can be faithful to one another and bust hell wide open, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's strong. Okay?
Very.
People, they can be faithful, never physically cheat on someone with sexual, adultery, infidelity. With financial, they can never cheat. But they have cheated on one another every single day because he didn't cover that woman like he should have covered that woman as being the priest of the household.
Yeah.
Come on.
She could be totally wrong because she's not being the helpmeet that God has called her to be.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's serious, y'all. So when we say marriage and total faithfulness in God, you have to make sure that God is the standard, not what we think. Okay?
Right.
So when God becomes the standard, now you can see the percentages start to dwindle down. It's not saying that they're not married. It's saying that they need to get their marriage right so that it can come up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You understand
All
that?
Right.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
How you doing, Ms. Who is that? Mm-hmm. Ms. LaDedra. Okay? So this is important. And those percentages are small now. What's going on, Brian? Homeboy Brian. All right? So here's the next email question. Y'all stay right there. Watch this. We're talking about marital unfaithfulness. The question says, does my spouse, what you say, Miss Crystal? This is because being faithful to God in your marriage means putting God first. Okay. Faithfulness has be both physical and mental. You have to play the role you are called to be in the marriage. All right, now. How you doing, Ms. Washington? The question says, does my spouse, Ms. Jennifer, I'm going to start directly with you. Women, star five on the line. Let me
y'all on this line. Huh? Where y'all at? Because y'all being quiet tonight. Huh? Star five.
Now, with that being said, watch this. Women, I'm going to start with you first. Fellas, we're going to sit back on this and we'll answer next. The question says, does my spouse have the right to tell me what to wear and what not to wear? I'm going to sit back. Because I don't want no shooter coming up. Let me back.
I would say no. Reason being, I would say no. He does not have the right to tell me what to wear. And if you carry yourself as a woman of God, you know, there's a certain way that, I mean, not the certain way, a certain way you carry yourself.
Okay.
You know, not cleavage hanging out, not your, you know, just a certain way you carry yourself. So I wouldn't even need, you know, for say if I was married, my husband would tell me what to wear.
Okay.
And I wouldn't tell him what to wear.
Yeah. Well, I like how she threw that last little part in, though. Why she threw it in there? That was that barometer say, I'm not going to tell you because you don't tell me.
There you go.
All right. Ms. Andrea, would you say yes to a degree? But as a woman, you should know how to dress. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Tyler said he has no opinion. I'm about to get this right. Ms. Kimberly said he can suggest. Ms. Jamara said he can suggest. Oh, no. She said no. Mm-hmm. Ms. Latanya said yes. How you doing? Who is that? Ms. Lasanja. Ms. Katrina, how are you? Ms. Jamara said give opinions on attire that he feels is flattering on me for his taste. Ms. Tamika say no. Boy, Lord Jesus. Okay. How you doing, Ms. Angel? Ms. Natasha said if he is my spouse, I would say yes, because he would always want me to look my best, and I'm representing him. Ms. Crystal says not really. However, keep in mind that you represent not only yourself but your spouse. If you are married, you should want to carry yourself respectfully, both for you, yourself, and him. How you doing, Ms. Rhonda? All right. Oh, this is deep. I need a water break on that one. Hold on, right quick. Okay. Cool. Check it out. Fellas, y'all chime in now. Star five, come on, somebody on the line. The question was, does my spouse have the right to tell me what to and what not to wear? When you become married, you become one. So don't you speak to yourself and say, no, this don't look good and this do. As a matter of fact, let me go a step further. When you said, look at the previous question, didn't we say that's my best friend? So when did your best friend tell you? As a matter of fact, let me go a little step further. Watch this. Do you tell your children what to and what not to wear? Now, watch somebody say, well, when they get old enough, I don't. Here's the thing. You married, you become one.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the head of the house? That don't mean he rules with an iron fist. Now, watch this. Let me make myself clear when I say marital unfaithfulness. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean that he's dictating or that she's dictating. That means we're giving count to one another. So I'm more about pleasing my spouse than I'm pleasing myself. So if they don't like it, I don't like it. If they like it, I love it. See, when you're about pleasing the other, remember, when we marry, we become one. You remember Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. If I'm busy serving you, it's really about what you like.
Yes.
Oh, I'm trying to help us get out of the unfaith. You know how many people experience marital unfaithfulness simply because they have a split mindset, and the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. You know why the relationship is unstable? She thinks this way, he thinks this way. You have to be of one mind.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I'm trying to help. If you, Lord, have mercy. Boy, this is why a lot of people not married, and this is why a lot of people who are married don't have successful marriages. You see the instability in the relationship? A double-minded man is unstable in all thy ways. When you become married, when you get married, when you're in a relationship, when you see, you become one in God's eyesight. That means to have a double mind means instability. That means, yes, no, no, yes, no, no. See, when you become one and on one accord with God, that means, hold on, baby. You don't like what I have? Oh, no, that's too much. Okay, cool, I'm going to change it. Because I'm all about pleasing you, not pleasing myself, nor pleasing them. Look, failure 101 in a marriage is when you put yourself above your spouse. The marriage is about to fail. The marriage is about
right.
to fail. So I'm going to say it again, and I won't take it back. When you put yourself above your spouse, the marriage is going to fail. There's no other option. Because it's all about you and not them.
Yeah. Okay.
You understand? So it's not an opinion when that's your best friend. As a matter of fact, God tells us what to wear. Can somebody read for me 1 Corinthians 7 and 4? Can somebody read? Because I want to validate this in God right quick. Because I don't want to mislead nothing. Come on. Does my spouse have the right to tell me what to and what not to wear? Make sure you get a man or a woman of God, and it won't be a chauvinistic approach anyway. In other words, they're going to do it in God's love, meaning this represents us. And, babe, I don't like that. Mm-mm, that's too much. Okay, babe. See, when you have a relationship, don't worry about what other people think because it's not about you. It's about your spouse first. That's just like with God. When we love God more than we love ourselves, God, do you like this? No, that's wrong. Okay, cool. Let me change. Because it's not about me.
All right.
Uh-oh. Read 1 Corinthians 7 and 4, Ms. Tiana.
The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does.
Hold on, stop, because somebody says, yes, she do. And everything that he says is an opinion. But somebody also, some man also says that she can't tell me. Read the rest of it.
The rest of it says, but the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does.
Wow.
Let's share that.
I respect his opinion. Let me tell you something, and I respect it too. When you're in love and you're in marriage, it's no longer an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an opinion. Because an opinion is for people who don't matter. Your spouse matters. God cannot give me an opinion. Whatever God tells me is valid. That's not an opinion. See, when you want somebody who's going to love you so much that they'll lie down their life for you. If you have a woman that will lie down her life for you, if you have a man that will lie down his life for you, that's called soulmate. Soulmates don't have opinions. They have connectivity.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you
indeed.
You will disrespect a marriage by calling them an opinion. I'm telling you, that's disrespectful. An opinion is to somebody I don't care. See, what's that man's name who's sitting in the White House? What's his crazy name? I don't even want to say his name.
Mm-hmm.
He gives opinions, crazy opinions, but it don't matter to me. That's an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When you love
right.
him, then it's not an opinion. You take it to heart because my heart is involved. Hello, somebody.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Hey, we all learning because I'm learning from y'all. We can learn from one another. True that?
Yes, okay. Indeed.
So read 1 Corinthians 7 and 4 one more time, Ms. Tiana.
The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband
mm-hmm.
does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Amen.
The wife doesn't have authority over her own body, but the husband does. The husband doesn't have authority over his own body, but the wife does. The Bible says submit one ye to another. He didn't say women just
mm-hmm.
submit to him. He also said men submit to your wives. Here's the thing with submitting. Who's going to be the final say? So it's a man. But here's the thing. When you submit to her, you take everything into consideration. That means I don't have, baby, if you don't like it, if you think my shirt is too tight and it's going to cause people to sin, well, let me change my shirt. Because that's my baby. That's my boo. I love everything about you. So if you don't like it, I don't like it. Because it's not about me.
Come on.
Hashtag that one. Hashtag, how they do it? Hashtag relationships goals on that one. That's a relationship goal. When you put your spouse before you put the opinion of anybody else in the world, yourself, your mama, your daddy, your granny, your granddad, no disrespect, but the only person
person who comes before your spouse is God, and God is involved in the marriage, so nothing comes before that.
All right.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, indeed.
This is good now. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is very important, because a lot of times we don't think that we should have to adhere to the rules of a marriage or a relationship, and we absolutely do. Because, fellas, it's something that you don't know that your woman knows. And the way that you dress might not be provocative to you, but she said that's turning women on, and babe, you don't need to do that. Respect what she just said. That's a part of you. Put her before you put them other women. Women, respect what your man says. You talking about where he's jealous. He's trying to protect you. Respect the man. If you thought he was jealous, don't marry him.
All right.
God tells us how to dress. And I be dog I care about. I'm telling God that's no opinion. No, it's not an opinion. If your job can tell you how to dress, how your spouse can't tell you how to dress? Because your job should never come before your spouse. And your job will tell you how to dress. All right?
That's true.
And you know they will, because they'll tell you to wear blue and khaki. Watch what you wear.
Mm-hmm.
You will get this off.
Yeah. All right.
Miss Crystal, what question you got? What you got for me, dear? What you got for me? Miss Crystal had a question for us. We're going to see what that question is.
Yes. Awesome.
Miss Crystal, that must be a good question because she's about
to. I think she's typing.
Now, hold on. Let me get my mind right.
Yes, indeed.
All right, before we get to the question, okay.
Here it is.
Ooh. Okay, she said, why?
Oh, okay.
Miss Portia, don't you be instigating over there talking about, ooh, we. All you needed was one O, V. You see that talking about, ooh, we, that's good. I love it. All right, marriage or unfaithfulness. The question is, why should a woman have to sleep with her husband every night? Should he respect that she is tired, even though the Bible says she is not to turn her husband down?
Every night. All right.
Miss Jennifer clearing her throat. I'm going to let you go ahead and start. I'm gonna let her get the phone, and I'm gonna get my. You better be Ethiopian in the bed too. I mean, you don't need no double A batteries now. Y'all know I'm playing. Don't. Let's keep it holy. Come on. What you got, Miss Jennifer?
Okay.
Hold on, Miss Jennifer. Miss Crystal said, and I'm asking for a friend.
She followed and said, "Laugh out loud." I didn't have an answer.
What you got, Miss Jennifer?
I don't think that it should have to be. I mean, every night. You know, that's 5 days a week. I mean, does he not work or? It depends.
All right, here's the thing. So, I don't want to be opinionated with this. I'm not going to be opinionated. I don't know someone's sex drive. And this is where you get to know and study your partner. Remember the Bible says, know them that labor amongst you. Marriage is a union, and we don't want to become unfaithful. So you got to work at a marriage. You got to work at a relationship. You have to work it. When you work, that means you're working with someone. So you got to know them that labor amongst you. It should be one person that you should know, or two, God and the individual that you call your spouse. Correct?
Correct.
Right. How you doing, Ms. Webster? So here's the thing. Since we're submitting one ye to another, he should understand that you're tired, and you should have understand that he's aroused. So it becomes a compromise. It becomes a compromise. Okay, babe, we don't have to do it every day this week, but let me let you recharge the next week, and then it's on and popping for 5 days. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm saying, you see, it's a give and take thing.
You got to talk about it.
It's a give and take. So it's a compromise. You can't say, put yourself first and say that I'm tired. You should understand it. That's recipe 101 for unfaithfulness. Okay? What will happen is you'll start to cause him to walk away. Hold on. Mm-hmm. That's not your fault to a certain extent. The Bible says lay with them so that they don't have to go elsewhere. So watch where I'm going with this now. But in the same token, his love for you should understand that my baby's tired. So my being intimate very well might just be rubbing her feet. You know, I don't know if you like a little whipped cream, but I might use, okay, you don't want no whipped cream? Well, I'm a massage. That's intimate to me. You know, you don't have to use whipped cream on her toes, but see, she might not want that at the time, and you may. Mm-hmm. So it's called a compromise. And in the same token, you might be tired, but you know that's your man, and sometimes you got to do what your man want to do simply because he putting you first and you putting him first. And when you put each other first, see, this question is easy because now I start to compromise with my bae.
Right.
So if you're sick, Miss Andrea, that's what I'm saying. He compromised. Because if you're sick, I don't need to be getting sick either. So, I mean, now some people say we'll put a paper bag over it, but we ain't doing that.
Holy
you understand?
Please,
oh, Lord.
Yes.
No, but the whole point is to nurture them.
Right.
Yep.
Right? It's to nurture one another.
Yes.
So I know, you know, he has a high sex drive or he wanted X amount of times, but in the same token, he knows that I'm tired. So watch love start to fulfill the room. So it becomes an equal balance. So balance starts to come into the room. So it's not about when I'm tired. It's about me satisfying my husband. But I know my husband loves me so much that he see his baby tired that he'll let me, you know, chill for some days, you know. Because sometimes being intimate is just holding my hand.
Amen.
Hello?
All right.
That's the truth.
Because if you got somebody, how you doing, Ms. Kenyon? If you got somebody who physically just wants you physically all the time, that means when your physical body starts to deteriorate, they're stuck. See, a soulmate is not about the physical intimacy. A soulmate is about the soul being intimate, intertwining with one another. And see, your soul will never get tired. So even though your flesh, your body is tired, baby, I'm being intimate. I'm on the phone with you being intimate, talking about what you got on. You're tired, well, you go ahead and go to sleep. Oh, yeah, because I worked you last night, huh? And I'm not talking about physical work. You just ran through my thoughts all last night. Oh, yeah, I'm going to see you. Yeah, okay. All right. Y'all don't be stealing my line. They look like they're trying to record me. Don't you understand, though, seriously? Now I'm on Facebook. This is real, y'all. So now we begin. We have a union that says I understand my mate, and my mate understands me. I would put them before me. I mean, I wouldn't put myself before them, and they, and vice versa. How you doing, Ms. Janice? Y'all follow me? So what happens is he understands that I'm tired. Even if he didn't understand, let me submit to his needs. Because if he be the man of God, he'll understand. And he's, okay? And in the same token, if I put her first, I understand her needs. So I'll put her first and let my baby rest. You understand?
All right.
I'm a rest. And then when you wake up, I'm still going to cook dinner as if I didn't, you know, tore it down already. I mean, breakfast, so I'm going to do the same thing. Because I don't have to be pleased physically when I spiritually got your soul. That's all I want is your soul in the first place so that this thing can be faithful. I don't want your body. Mm-hmm. That's secondary. I want your soul.
Amen. All right.
Somebody talking about you sound like Keith Sweat over here. If I could sing, it'd be on. I ain't going to do my rendition, so we're going to move right on along. So, Ms. Crystal, what you said, knowing your spouse's sex cycle is just as important about knowing their likes and dislikes. That's absolutely right. All right?
Yeah.
Why is this, y'all? We're about to okay. Let me get to these real quickly. The next question, Ms. Jennifer, check it out now. Star 5, y'all, on phone, Mr. Bree. I know you out there. The question says, I love my wife, but she puts her mother and father before she puts me. Would I be out of the will of God if I divorce her for this reason?
I would say yes, it would be out of the will of God. Instead of, you know, speaking with his wife about it, because, like, well, him and his wife, they are as one. So he has to put his wife, I mean, she has put her husband, I'm sorry, before her mother and father. So I would say he shouldn't divorce her for that.
Okay. Now, she didn't get you out of the soft answer. After you speak to her, that's my girl, though. After you speak to your wife, and if she's still putting mom and dad before she, what's going on, Dewan, she puts you, it may be time to bounce. Because here's the thing. You start to become disgruntled. And the Bible says, do not murmur and do not complain. Now you're forcing me into a position that I don't want to be in because I'm complaining. I'm telling you that I need more time from you. I need more of you. I need more of your attention. I need you not to put somebody else before you. Put me. Your mom and your dad is your mom and dad. You're supposed to cleave to me. We're supposed to be attached. We're soulish. Okay? With that being said, if you cannot adhere to the rules of the marriage, not like you're a child, but adhere to the needs of the marriage, then the marriage dissolves. It dissolves itself. Because where does that leave you? No, I mean, I understand I wouldn't leave initially, but when you have talked, how long do you wait in, how long do you wait for the man to stop putting his mama first? He a mama's boy. Let me flip the situation because y'all know we different. He a mama's boy, and he put his mama before he put you. His mama know everything his mama do, his clothes, his mama do everything for him. Where does that leave you? How long would you stay around?
Okay. Well, hopefully you knew that before going in. What changed once you got married?
Okay, let's say he played a good game called cat and mouse and he didn't disclose it. It wasn't evident until you got into marriage. The thing is, do you leave him even after you have told him your needs? Do you? Well, these are some real life questions, y'all.
It is.
I mean,
at some point in time, you have to make a grown man and grown woman decision. You have to make a spiritual decision at some point in time. Because unfaithfulness is not just limited to physical sexual infidelity. That is outside of the realm of God because the Bible says when you get married, you cleave to your spouse. That
right.
means you become like mesh. You cannot be separated. That means nobody come before my wife. Nobody come before my husband. That means, mama, if you love us, watch this, or you leave us. But, mama, I know you raised me, but you raised me to be a man. Now I'm at the point of being a man, so, mama, you should understand. Daddy,
all right.
Women.
Amen.
Daddy, if you love me and my husband, or you leave me and my husband, but you raised me to be a young woman, so you should understand that I'm at that point. And you know that you and mama did y'all thing, we have to do ours. See?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And that way, marriage on faithfulness is not at your doorstep.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yes.
I think that's fair. Then we put things in perspective. That means mama and daddy respect the relationship without overstepping boundaries. Uh-oh.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes, indeed.
All right. I'm going to run through these real quickly, y'all. The next question says, I'm legally separated but not legally divorced. All right? I'm legally separated but not legally divorced. We have been separated for 5 years. If I date, although I'm not legally divorced, is that considered committing adultery or being unfaithful? Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and say this a minute, Tim. Absolutely, that's committing adultery. We use the word legal when we don't want to do it God's way. I thought that God was your law.
Yep.
Oh, now we must like a child. Watch this, marriage on faithfulness. We become just like a child. You know, child to try to play mama against daddy. Daddy is God, mama is the world. So we go to the weaker of the two. So we go to mama, meaning the world law. But I thought you was under God's law.
Right.
See, you can't say I'm in God, but then I'm a legalist. What is your definition of legal? Because that legal definition don't have nothing to do with the Bible. Didn't the Bible say,
okay,
choose ye this day who you will serve? When you marry, to marry. How does God view it? Not how does the state view it. Your family view it, how you view it. How does God view it? If you marry, you marry, and that's legal. So that means you don't date until you get a DIVOE. Mm. I wouldn't spell it, but y'all know the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Make sense?
It does. Yeah.
All right. Next question, real quick. Marital unfaithfulness. If I use a sex toy due to the fact that my spouse cannot satisfy me sexually, is that being unfaithful to him?
Yes.
No.
Let me ask the question again. If I use a sex toy due to the fact that my spouse cannot satisfy me sexually, is that being unfaithful to him?
I would say no.
Okay. Yes, no, no, yes, okay. I'm going to answer it real quickly. In order to use a sex toy, that means your mind must go somewhere. That means you must fantasize.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew that we shouldn't lust after a man. So what are you fantasizing about? You got to be lusting after something. Because I know that toy by itself not turning you on.
Nope.
I know you ain't talking about coming here with that big old thing. You're not doing that, huh? Miss Jennifer, they think I'm crazy about being real now.
Yeah.
All right? Here's the fact of the matter, y'all. If you use a sex toy due to the fact that the spouse cannot satisfy you sexually, here's the thing. You have stepped out into the flesh. And see, your next step is when the toy no longer satisfies you, you're going to look for a physical body.
Okay.
That's even if you don't have the physical body, remember the Bible says it this way. You know, you have heard that you commit sex, you commit adultery when you physically do something. But the Bible says, no, I tell you that you have committed adultery when you lust in your heart. In other words, God doesn't base everything based on physicality. Spiritually, have you just committed adultery? Spiritually, have you just been unfaithful?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing she's done. Don't be done. That's right. Miss Corsha said you're breaking your covenant. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Crystal said mentally you are being unfaithful. Absolutely. Because that's not your spouse. But here's more importantly. Yes, you should have a physical attraction. But when you love somebody, whatever they bring to the table, I don't care if they live 3 inches. I don't apply, look. But if you love them, love covers a multitude of sin. That's not a sin. That's just what they came with. But when you love something, feel joy to the utmost. You understand?
Yes.
I'm trying to help somebody. The problem is, watch this. The problem is, the Bible says, do not. The marriage bed should be undefiled. We start thinking of what we used to have, what we did experience. Lord Jesus, see how we mess up God's plan? We start looking at magazines and talking about when we compare. The Bible says, do not covet your neighbor's house. So we start looking at what we used to have and what felt good over there, and we mess up God's marriage bed simply because we brought something else as a comparison to what we have in the room.
All right. Yep.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, true.
Lord Jesus. Now, flip that around. What if that person starts comparing you and say you like sandpaper? They didn't got copper, bro. They don't even use that. What they say, that Kentucky, that KY, they use Kentwood, and it still ain't working. So, now, what if they start comparing you?
Oh, bread.
I know.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
It's put to sleep cool. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So let's not do that. What you say, Ms. Crystal, then you have not been faithful to your spouse because you have not shared with him or her your frustration. Right? But don't let your frustration be stemming off of the fact that you're comparing them to somebody else. That's absolutely not the thing to do. What you say, Ms. Jamara, stop. I'm about to stop. I'm trying to be real with everybody tonight, but you got to be real. Marriage unfaithfulness. Okay?
Yeah.
I got one more question for y'all. Here's the last email question. Okay? Listen to this question. Okay? You got people over there eating popcorn talking about, All right. Don't you rolling over there? Don't be laughing at me. All right. Here's a question. It says, I've been having sex with my ex for well over 3 years just to avoid paying child support. The problem is that I'm no longer enjoying the sex, and on top of that, did I forget to mention that she's been married for all of those years, we've engaged in sexual activity, and so have I.
Wow.
I don't want to mess up her marriage, nor do I want her to mess up mine. So how do I go about handling this? You should have been paying your child support in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So you're using sex, and y'all would be amazed. Marriage on faithfulness, how many people use sex in, as an object to avoid paying money?
Yeah.
Because you know after you stop getting the sex, that's when you start to pursue them in child support, huh?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm gonna sit on this, that one. Hold on.
Wow.
So we become unfaithful. Yeah. That's real talk. Y'all know that? Now, let's just say it wasn't a child support. Let's just say it was something else. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So people, see, now, do you understand that people can be intimate without being physically intimate? People have sex with people without being physically sexual with them. And they married. They married. You know how many people will listen to their ex before they listen to their spouse?
Yes.
Uh-oh. You know how many people will ask their spouse, I mean, ask their ex about something that should be sacred between them and their spouse? In other words, they're trying to validate a question through their ex and not their spouse.
Yep.
Do you understand that's a part of intimacy? Because that means you trust somebody else more than you trust the person you with. Wow.
Hmm.
My God.
Yes.
Now, how wise is that? Because didn't the Bible, how you doing, Ms. George? Didn't the Bible say wise men seek wise counsel? How wise are you when you go backwards to your ex to get information about your future and your present? How wise is that?
Mm-hmm.
So how wise is it to have physical intimacy with something in your past when you got a present and a future standing right in front of you? How wise is that?
It's not.
Please don't use the excuse that I'm familiar with it. Since you're so familiar with it, why is it called EX?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Don't be familiar with something when God has called you to be peculiar. All my marriage is unfaithfulness. In other words, you don't have to see, watch this. You do know opening your legs is one sin, but opening your heart to somebody who shouldn't be there is a whole other sin. Because
mm-hmm.
a seed can be planted either which way.
True.
Mm-hmm. It's actually worse to open your heart to your past or something that's not your spouse or your mate as opposed to opening your legs. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Y'all follow?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What you said, Ms. Brooks, if it was that good of a relationship, you should have stayed with them. Tell them again. But see, some people don't stay with them because the other person didn't want them.
Yep.
Right.
I'm not going to touch that.
Mm.
See, this is where the openness comes into play because don't move forward without telling that person that your heart is still somewhere. And please don't use the excuse that I didn't know. Yes, you did.
Yes, indeed.
Hello? What you say, Miss Crystal, you should stop sleeping with them. Love doesn't come with a cost. Love and marriage is priceless. That's right. And you know a lot of people can mess up their marriage because they're too busy looking back here. And if I'm looking back there, how can I drive the vehicle called marriage this way? All right.
Yep.
I'm going to leave that right there, y'all. I'm going to leave it right there. The last one real quickly. Why would a woman want a married man as her own when he wasn't faithful to his wife with whom she deceitfully stole him from? Why would you want somebody else's stuff and think that you can do better with them? Men, why would you want another, why would you steal a woman from her husband and think that you're the golden answer? Women, why would you steal a man from his wife and think that you're the answer? It doesn't matter how much they complain. When you are married to God and you're faithful to God and you don't commit marital unfaithfulness to God, that means you never step into somebody else's situation in the first place.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't know what was happy or not because I don't care. Kumbaya, grace to you. I wish y'all the best, but I don't care because God didn't put you. If you was for me, you would be with me. I don't look nowhere else. I don't want that. So I'm not ever going to steal anything. You can't talk to me if you're married. You better go that way. I don't want a friendship. We didn't know one another. No. No.
Mm-hmm.
We good.
Yeah.
Because I want to help save you. You can't help. I'm good. But I want to help save you. Meaning, no. That's my name. What's your name? No. How you spell it? Watch this.
Mm.
Hello?
All right.
Hello?
Sorry.
Bible says, show yourself blameless. It should never look like. It should never look like. You should never have indicators that point toward unfaithfulness when you are with somebody.
Yeah.
There should be no shadow of a doubt. Like I said, on Wednesday and Sunday, you should be able to leave your house and leave your cell phone. If you married and have a code on your phone, something ain't right. Because your mate should have access to that phone, much like you have access to theirs. They should have access. Because you are one, and you're getting judged as one. And I need to know what's in my account. I need to know what's in your heart.
Yes, indeed.
That's true.
But Ms. George, a lot of women do it for revenge. Thrill seeking is not right. That's right. So when you really committed and love someone, you got to be totally transparent. So therefore, when you're transparent with them, you don't want nobody else.
That's true.
But before you can be transparent to your spouse, you must first be transparent to God. Let's go ahead and pray, Ms. Tiana, please.
All right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for bringing us together tonight and allowing us to just share in your word and to bring forth such truth, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, as we go forward, may we be reminded of all that you had us digest tonight. May we take this word, share it with others, so that they too may receive of you. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for our leader. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Let me clear up the air, Ms. Jennifer. I normally don't talk a lot, but when it comes to the things about God, I do talk a lot about God. But if you try to call me on a regular basis, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Once again.
Understood.
But I don't talk a lot.
Amen.
It's about God. Is. She don't want to talk to me. See how unfaithful she is, and she's been my friend for over 15, 17 years. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.